Today on the Rise of the Challenge podcast.
I was so extremely dedicated to sports that I put everything else by the wayside. I did not do the whole like party scene thing only when we had our track team events. I didn't really date much in college. I was so focused on excelling as much as possible and pleasing my coach that I put everything by the wayside. I was willing to do anything to be the best I could. And I think back on it now, was it the best thing? I don't know, but I don't like to look back realistically. I think there's no point to it.
Welcome to the Rise to the Challenge podcast. Joining today, he's a former professional track athlete, gym owner, and coach. It's Taylor Ross. How are you doing today, Taylor?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing, Alex?
We're doing so good. We're so excited to have you on the show to talk about your Rise to the Challenge. What we like to do with all of our guests is go right to the beginning. Talk about where you're from and what you like doing growing up.
So I am back in my hometown, so Brea Fullerton area in California. As a kid, definitely just an athlete at heart. Started off with T-ball, wasn't a big fan, but then really dove into soccer. But from there, things elevated as a kid, just trying anything and everything I could get my hands on.
What was the big thing that draw you towards soccer? You mentioned T-ball at first, but soccer kind of took over that passion.
T-ball wasn't a lot of movement, so I had to get my body moving a little bit more. I was pretty hyperactive kid. I just always wanted to play, and I think my mom chose soccer because of how much you can actually run, and that actually ingrained a lot of movement in me, but a lot of fine motor skills going from the hands down to the feet, which was really, really cool. And I fell in love with the sport itself as a young adolescent.
Do you feel that where you were with track, soccer really tested your passion for running? Because track is definitely more just you're running. There's more limitations to it than soccer. Do you feel that helped in a way?
For me personally, I don't even think of it because I actually thought I was going to go to college for basketball. That became my new passion after soccer. When I got into high school, I had to choose what I wanted to focus on, basketball or soccer. And I actually chose basketball. And track kind of happened by accident. But my personal philosophy with sports for kids, I think that soccer is probably one of the most foundational sports that you can do just to learn more about your body, awareness in space, and learning how to move your feet, which a lot of sports don't really focus in on too much besides soccer. So it really gives you a lot of proprioception and body awareness as a kid that can translate to almost every single sport. And also you're running a lot, so you get that cardiovascular benefit too.
Well, you even talked about just from the physicality aspect, but from kids just getting to know other kids or getting along from a team setting, kind of learning those interpersonal skills that can translate even towards the future. I think sports as for kids needs to happen because it teaches them so much that you can't really teach if they don't experience that.
Without a doubt, I think being around other young kids, challenging personalities, people that are supportive, everything that you need to start to learn about in life, you get through those team environments. And soccer, basketball, football, baseball, all of those, you know, the big main sports that we have here in the US is going to really encapsulate that as a kid, because people are testing their personalities, learning who they are as a person. And then you also learn other different personalities as well as a kid. And it helps you get prepared for other things in life as an adult or high school into college, because you just continue to evolve that whole time. Like, we're learning forever. And I think the foundation of team sports can really develop a good base for that.
Who are the athletes growing up that were big inspirations for you?
That's actually a hard question, because I actually did not watch too many sports. Okay. But I remember going to the community center and there's a book sale. And this was, I believe, third or fourth grade. And there was a Michael Jordan book. And I was like, oh, I got that book. I don't even remember what it's called. But he was always a figure that I kind of looked up to. But I never actually watched many sports. And I actually got in trouble by one of my basketball coaches. Like, you didn't see the game? You're not watching basketball? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to play instead. So Jordan and his whole legacy itself is something that I kind of attached to as I got older and thought was amazing. But that's the only really one that I focused in on, actually.
Did you see that book prior to playing basketball? It was, or was it during the time playing basketball?
That was during the time playing basketball. I think that's right when I got started. So that's when I kind of started opening my eyes to the actual athletes. And it was just by chance seeing that book on the table. And I knew who Michael Jordan was, like, oh, basketball, Michael Jordan, this is it. And that kind of like kickstarted a lot of stuff for me.
You mentioned that the goal was hopefully to play basketball in college or even the future. What was that dream job that you were wanting? Was it in sports or was it completely separate and you went to go in a different route?
I wanted to play professional basketball. That was a dream. I had stipulations every time that I stepped on the court, like, oh, I've got to hit all these shots or make these moves with the, like, just dribbling up and down the court to make sure that I'm going to make it. And that was my passion up until I stopped, essentially. And that was my junior year of high school where I had a falling out with my coach, but that's actually what pivoted me into track and field, which completely took over. But my senior year of high school, I took a sports medicine class and I fell in love with it because I wanted to be an aerospace engineer. I
Oh,
wanted
wow.
to do stuff with being an astronaut, but then I'm too tall. I'm 6'4" now. So I'm like, oh, I don't fit. I'm not allowed to do it. So let me do the engineering part. And then I fell in love with the body. And then I was being an athlete as a senior in track. And I wanted to use that knowledge to try and excel in sports more. And then I wanted to be an athletic trainer. So I went to Cal State Fullerton as a pre-athletic training major, but you can't do it as an athlete. So I had to drop it. Yeah. And then I transitioned to kinesiology, where I was going to be a strength and conditioning coach. That was my focus, try to be an NFL coach or a high Division I college strength and conditioning coach. So there was all these like shifts, like one door closed, I got to have another one to open up to see what opportunities were there. And that's kind of where I'm at now. Don't want to be a college coach anymore, but I love what I do now, coaching people.
Do you feel with those changes, it kind of wasn't a negative in a way because you were still finding a way to be passionate about something or in the direction that you're going and still kind of in that realm of industry that you were wanting?
Yeah, so basically my mindset as an athlete was get it done through grit and passion. And don't let a closed door stop you from achieving what you want. So just because I had the door closed on me for a certain career path that I wanted, didn't mean that the actual embodiment of what that career was closed off to me. So even though I had what could have seemed negative to me, basically my first week of college opened up a new opportunity for me to just continue pursuing everything that I wanted to, just in a different avenue. So I've always had the thought process of if you have an idea in your head to take action on it, and even if there's hurdles along the way, it's just a hurdle. But if you stop, then the game is over. So not being able to do pre-athletic training as an athlete was like, all right, well, I'm an athlete, so that's kind of better because I get to pursue something 1% of the population does, and I'm still going to do kinesiology, which is pretty much the same classes anyway.
Do you feel that during your college days, you were so focused on being an athlete or classes that it kind of took away from maybe the personal life, where college is kind of that time where people really learn what do they like, what's new about them, and things like that?
1,000%. I was so extremely dedicated to sports that I put everything else by the wayside. I did not do the whole like party scene thing, only when we had our track team events. I didn't really date much in college. I was so focused on excelling as much as possible and pleasing my coach that I put everything by the wayside. I was willing to do anything to be the best I could. And I think back on it now, was it the best thing? I don't know, but I don't like to look back realistically. I think there's no point to it. Everything that we've done, every step that we've taken has led us to where we are now. And I'm in a position that I absolutely love currently, and I'm striving for more. So I wouldn't change anything about college.
Would you have gone to a different like college if they allowed you to do what you wanted to do? Or was it that only college that was denying you of doing both?
I'm not sure. I didn't look into the logistics of it, but part of the reason why I chose to go to Cal State Fullerton, because I got into all the colleges that I applied to, which were fairly local, but this is the one that allowed me to live at home to save some more money. And I was going just as a student, so I didn't really care. And then I ran well in high school, the later season of spring, and I was like, oh, why don't I just try to be an athlete? So I wasn't planning on being an athlete. I was already committed to being a student there just to do it. So I didn't want to commute or move at that moment in time to go to a different school to commit to the kind of career path that I wanted to. So those closed doors actually opened up the other perfect doors for me.
It's always they say when one door closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
What was next after college? What was that path that you were wanting? As the goal was to be a professional athlete, but then changed to other areas. But what was next for you?
So I actually continued to try to achieve the professional athlete life just with a new sport. So basically, I started as a walk-on at Fullerton, and January, I had a full-blown knee surgery. I had to get a bone transplant. So talk about rise to the challenge.
Yeah.
Full-blown knee surgery. I get shut down. I actually have to have another knee surgery 3 months later to get the screws taken out. So my freshman year of college was pretty much laying in bed for 6 months. That was not fun. And I got depressed. I thought I was never going to walk again. I was like, I'm never going to be able to compete again. Even the doctor said if I decided to run, that I would probably and most likely need a full knee replacement by the end of college. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I need to do. So I walked on, made the team, had the knee surgery. Luckily, they kept me. And then I just pushed as hard as I could. And eventually, I actually earned scholarship. I started surpassing some of the scholarship athletes and really excelling. And this is where my pursuit of greatness in my mind just took over again. So, just like it was for basketball, I was like, all right, it's track. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to be that guy. I want to make a USA team. I want the US across my chest. So, I graduated in 4 years. I had another year of eligibility because I had to redshirt for that freshman year. And I got into the master's program. So I got my degree or my master's in kinesiology for strength conditioning as well. And I had another year of eligibility on scholarship. So I got to run again. Then, since I used up my eligibility, I became a assistant coach and actually trained under my coach again to try to make that 2016 Olympic team. So that was amazing in the aspect of being able to utilize my entire time at Cal State Fullerton to get the knowledge that I utilize still to this day while also achieving the highest level of athleticism possible. And that was my peak year. Due to injury after that was kind of rough, but I think in the world, I think it was top 500 that year, but I ended up getting hurt. So I ran my fastest race ever in 2016. Indoors, I could have gone to USA indoors, but I pulled my groin. There's always that story of like, oh,
Ooh.
this happened. I don't like to look at that. But that was an amazing year for me. And that's what catapulted me to actually train with a professional group for the subsequent 4 years after that.
Looking at the first part of your running journey, is there an accomplishment that sticks out to you that you are proud of?
Oh, yes. My coach gave me body dysmorphia early on, said I
Oh.
need to be a certain weight. And I got to the point where things were happening where they were eventually let go. And I was captain at the time. So I stepped up and we were up in Davis traveling for a track meet. And I had to make some decisions as far as our relays, overall leading the team. And that was the actual meet where I took third in Big West and Fullerton had not been on the podium in years. So that was a huge standout moment for me. And that's what really ignited my passion to continue on because I PR'd huge that year. And I also rallied the team up to do really well in our 4x4, which hadn't been done in a really, really long time. And these were not terrific times by any means, even though we were D1. The team has grown so much more since then. But my class was one of the first that really started to get Fullerton on the map. And I really remember that, I think it's the 2013 season where we really made that shift.
Do you have a signature event? Like you talked about, there was different events that you did, relays and individual. What was your preference?
Mine was the 400. I was basically a 400 meter specialist. I ran the 200 on occasion. And then my later years in college, I started running the 4x1 because I still had that speed, but I was not a 100 meter guy. I needed the run in. So I'd run second leg primarily. And then in my professional career, it was strictly 400. 400 and the 4x4s. So the 400, yeah, one lap. That's all I got.
That's how I would be. I'd be like, can I just do one lap? Let me just do the 100. I won't go too fast. I can't do the long distance running. Like, running
Yeah.
is not my specialty. So it's like the quicker I can get this done, the better it will be for me.
Yeah, which is wild because I actually had such a sprint mentality. And when I was running with my pro group, my coach would say, "Oh, go run 3 miles. I want it done in about 20 minutes." I'm like, "That's freaking hard. It's fast." And I would die doing it. I hated doing it. And it took me years to learn how to run distance, like, and enjoy it. And I did my first half marathon almost a year ago. It was February of last year, and it gave me a new perspective on running distance because I slowed down. I wasn't just dying, and I've like noticed things and look around, and it was a different way to look at the city and the streets and everything, which was really, really cool. And that helped me evolve even more as a coach and an athlete to, give everybody kudos for what they do, but also just take time to smell the roses,
Yeah.
honestly.
When you're training now for just for your personal fitness journey, did that hurt how you train? Like when you're training for a short distance, you're doing things a certain way. Now, as you're getting older, do you have that different mentality where I don't need to go that hard for these longer distance, but I still have to have that kind of energy where I need to beat myself. I need to push myself to the next step.
That is actually something I'm shifting through right now. I've continued to train at the athlete mentality, and I've realized that now I'm 32, squatting super heavy just to put up numbers is not really it. My body does hurt. I have a lot of injuries from track, but thankfully I could still do just about everything that I want to do physically. So now it's more of a maintenance and fitness health perspective rather than athletic excellence. Two completely different training styles. Like the recovery aspect of being an athlete is so important, and people put that by the wayside. And now it's shorter sessions, not as heavy weights, maybe more reps, different types of cardio where I'm not absolutely crushing myself. And that's the sustainable lifestyle that I coach a lot of people on, because you don't have to die in the gym to get results.
Yeah.
Dial in your nutrition, have a really good solid training program that allows you to recover and do the things that you want to, you get awesome results.
As a coach, the biggest thing out there is there's so many coaches out there. What makes you so special when you're connecting with potential clients? What are they looking at from you to help them achieve their goals?
I think a lot of people initially reach out to me just because of my background. One, my education, also running at an elite level. But me as a coach, I try to figure out why they truly want to change. And this can take some time. Some people come in and just, "Oh, I just want to lose 15 pounds." Okay, sweet. That's amazing. Losing 15 pounds will really help you. But what's causing this shift right now? Like, why now? What's the purpose? And then we start to figure out what it is in their life that they're really looking to accomplish. And that's where I can help them more because fitness and the nutrition side of things literally is just a cherry on top of it for me now. It is a big driver, but the mentality that goes behind making those lifestyle changes to create those daily disciplines that you carry with you forever is what makes people stick with me. I'm not just going to say, "Hey, here's a program, follow it blindly. You'll get amazing results, but have no idea what you're doing in the long run and have to rebound and do it all over again." There's people that I've coached for 6 weeks and couldn't come to me because we were geographically undesirable. They're just way too far away. And I'll hit them up, and they're still crushing it because of the things that I taught them. So once you define your purpose, that's how I can help people the quickest and the most effectively.
What's the biggest thing coaching has taught you about yourself that you didn't know you had in you?
The fact that I care more about other people's goals now than my own.
Wow.
Yeah. With the word empath comes to mind. I could really resonate with somebody and why they want to do something, and I'm not happy until they do it. And when they're slacking off, it hurts my feelings because I know they're not getting what they need. And not only does that set them back, but it sets me back because I feel like I'm failing, right? I'm doing my job wrong by educating them or providing them the value to see what their life could be like with the goals that they do have in mind. So I'm always trying to provide that little extra bit of information or motivation or resources to make sure that they're always getting that leg up. And that's, I think, something that I've learned probably in the past year and a half, 2 years of me coaching, realizing that's what's shifted in me now.
With the coaching business, sometimes there's risk in how long you're able to do it. Was that always the game plan after being a professional athlete, was to go into that field because it was a good transition? Or did you have some worries and doubts that could I find the clients? Am I able to keep this stability in this industry?
So I took a big fat risk, and perfect occasion to be on Rise to the Challenge podcast because my gym in LA is Rise Athletics LA.
Okay.
So I graduated with my master's. I took a corporate job at Crunch as a personal trainer. I became the assistant fitness manager quickly afterwards. And I always wanted to have my own facility. I like business and like finance as well. So that's something that has always resonated with me. So the two married it up really well. And then I had the opportunity with my dad to open up a facility in LA. We knew nothing about business. It's been nothing but learning and hurdles and learning and hurdles over and over again. But here we are, almost 6.5 years later, with a successful business helping people transform their lives and find different avenues of fitness that they never thought they would do. And it's super sustainable. So I think I always did have the mindset of being a business owner in some capacity with the fitness world. Didn't know exactly what it would be, but I knew getting my foot in the door at a personal training facility would be step one, and then see where it took me from there.
With being a gym owner, do you prefer being out in the public or like doing the office stuff? Like, do you like to be on the floor, seeing people achieve their goals, seeing everyone smiling, enjoying being in there, or being in that office is kind of like your sanctuary, and you enjoy kind of learning the numbers, learning the different avenues it takes to run a business.
So that's something that has shifted the last few years as well. I still love being on the floor and connecting with my members, but I love learning about business now. It's huge to me. So the cool thing with what I do is I only work in the evenings at the gym because we're class-based. So I get to do all the number stuff at home. And then when I go into the gym, I'm servicing everybody. And if I don't have an appointment or anything, I'm usually walking around, just talking to people, learning more about their story, seeing if I can help them any type of way, because that gives me more fulfillment and it gives them more value too. So I still have them both very much aligned with each other. There's moments where, yeah, I'd rather be on the floor or I'd rather be in the office, but definitely both are big in my world right now. And I don't actually coach at my gym anymore except for personal training. So that allows me to focus more on the business while also having more time to connect with the members as well when I am there.
Something that you brought up was a great point. It was taking advantage of all aspects of it, where I can relate in a similar way with just doing the show. Yeah, I can be an on-face talent, but there's a lot more to the show that I enjoy doing. What's the marketing behind it? How to grow, how to reach out to people and things like that. So you're doing something similar where you're loving all aspects, but you enjoy doing it each and every day. There might be those challenging days, but if you're not growing, you're not learning that next opportunity, that next chapter, you might be able to use those same skills to elevate that next chapter to the next level.
Yeah, that's what I love about the industry of fitness. Always looking for that little extra nugget in research, and now also business, seeing how things could be fine-tuned or more outreach, or how our members could be serviced better and quality of service, and all this stuff that really just compiles together to continue to move the goalpost to grow as a person, as a coach, as a business person, as a father, as a husband, like just always trying to move forward. And I think business and fitness marry up really well to do that in all aspects of life.
You mentioned that you're doing this business with your father and you talked about family. What has fatherhood done for you? What has been the greatest achievement you've seen from you being a
Ooh, that's deep.
father?
Becoming really, really selfless. Before, I did a lot of things off of being selfish, realistically, I wanted to make the US team. I wanted to be a coach on a NFL team or something like that. And now it's what can I do for my daughter to make her proud that I'm her dad and also provide for her in the best way possible. And that doesn't mean giving her everything because I think that everybody needs to have challenge in their life to grow. But now I have this purpose of I need to show up every single day with my fitness, my mentality, my business, my family, everything. So I have a, I don't know what it's called, but I call it the three F's: family, fitness, and fulfillment. Those are the things that I focus in on. So family is everything. They're right there for you no matter what. Fitness, this goes physically and mentally. You got to be on top of that to make sure that you can provide for your family in the best way possible. And then fulfillment is following your passion and fulfilling others' needs to make sure that you give value back and you're not always taking.
You need to get that on a neon sign, the three F's. Just similar to that. Just get it on
I
a
should do
sign,
that.
put it in your gym right there. It'd be perfect.
That is awesome. I should. I'm
What's the
actually moving soon and I will have a really nice studio. So I'm thinking about like how I'm going to be designing it, and that'll definitely be up there for sure.
And then when I watch it and see the three, I'd be like, I gave him that idea, so I'll get like 0.01% credit for that.
I love it.
Working with your dad, what's been the most rewarding part in that experience? Sometimes working with family can be a challenge, but what has been the positives from that?
Having a really tight relationship. So my parents were separated when I was really young, and the split custody was every 2 weeks, but with my sports, that didn't always happen. For 5 years, I basically lived in LA and saw my dad damn near every day. And that was something that really catapulted our relationship, which was really cool on a father-son level. Business is business. So there are times where we are ecstatic and growing together, and sometimes we butt heads and need to figure things out. But our relationship has grown in exponential ways in almost every avenue because we've been able to be around each other so much and put something together that started from nothing.
Was he someone that enjoyed the fitness industry like yourself, or was this like a new territory for him?
His backstory is a little similar and different. So he was an athlete. He actually had Olympic aspirations as a sprinter too. But he's a firefighter. He ended up hurting his back, blew out some discs, and had to retire from running. And found jujitsu. Fell in love with it. Was doing it on the side, just at studios, having fun, and eventually got a little group together. And then an opportunity fell in his lap, and that's what we did to capitalize on. And we opened up a gym rather than just having shared mat space or like renting time from other studios. He wanted to make it a legit thing. So we put my knowledge and practice together with his in martial arts and created the gym.
Do you only have the one gym, or do you plan to expand and open even more?
The one gym is enough.
Yeah, 20, that's nothing.
I've thought about expanding, but I do have a business mentor that has metrics that I would need to hit before I even thought about a second one. We're not close to that. So I'm focusing on developing what we have now and then my online presence, which would be the Crown Athletic side of things. Second location would be right here. I have a garage gym that I have some clients out of, like family and friends. But a true second location would be years out. We'll see. You never know, though. I'm not going to close that door. If it's just cracked open, it's open.
You talked about online. You do something where you post content and really kind of share your journey that you've been on. What's been valuable about that, where your followers are really getting an insight on the journey you're on?
So I actually did not post a whole lot of day-to-day life until more recently. And the most rewarding thing is that in the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've had about 5 or 6 people reach out to me, say, "Hey, you got me out of bed to do my workout," or, "I went out for an extra walk today because I saw you doing it." And that was inspiring to me, because some days you post on social and you're just like, "This isn't getting any views. Nobody's liking it. I'm not impacting anybody. Why should I do it?" But my stubborn athlete mentality of just always doing the work no matter what becomes fruitful when those people message you eventually and show that you are making an impact. So social now is just showing the process, showing you exactly what I do to create the life that I want to live, and being successful in fitness and business and everything, as well as a father. It's amazing what social media can do, and it's even better when people reach out and share that you've impacted them, not just to sign up as clients, but like genuine, just like, "Hey, you got me out of bed and I went for a run this morning." That is super exciting for me.
You never know who is being impacted. There's always sometimes the silent ones where you're making a difference, but they may not say anything about it, but you kind of know that it could be happening. I think at the time of this interview, you posted about you being outside with your dog, walking, just getting outside. And at the same time you posted that, I was outside walking my dog. And I had the same thought through my mind, just being outside, enjoying and kind of just getting up, taking a break, and kind of made me start thinking about don't be just stuck at a desk all day. You got to go outside. We kind of talked about how long distance smelling the roses and then going so fast, where those walks makes you really kind of analyze what's going on. What are things you want to look forward to? What's next? What's going on in your life? So that post kind of really hit just with me in that moment, but it kind of was rewarding to hear
That's
someone saying
awesome.
the same thing that I was thinking at that time.
See, that's congruency right there. And the perfect analogy to that is the present is the present. Like, enjoy it, soak it in. We get so caught up in work, and I will be the first to admit that I will put my head in a hole and just work really hard and forget about that. And I have to remind myself of it still. We're not perfect. Nobody's ever going to be perfect. So I took that moment to be like, "Wow, it's freaking beautiful outside. I'm soaking this in. My dog is loving it. Like, let me share this." And that's why I decided to get on social. And look, that's actually 2 people then just from that post. That's
There you
awesome.
go. Looking towards the future, what is that fitness goal for you? Are you working towards completing a race, a marathon, another fitness opportunity? What's next for you when it comes to your fitness?
Personal fitness now for me is just maintaining overall health and not having an unhealthy relationship with my body and food, which took years, and I'm at that space now. I did want to compete in cross country mountain biking, but unfortunately, I hurt my foot on a long distance run getting ready for a half marathon. So honestly, right now, everything's kind of just on pause. I'm just doing 2 to 3 days a week of just gentle cardio and lifting weights, just maintaining overall health. We will see what the future holds as far as some level of competition or something to go towards. But right now, it's just maintaining my level of leanness, stay strong, eat healthy, and live life.
Something our listeners love to do is learn even more about the guests. For someone that's listening to this that might know you, what's something that they may not know about you that you haven't shared or that people can learn about you?
Ooh. This is something that has surprised me even at the gym. So I'm an introvert for one. Like, if I had the choice, I actually would just kick back at home. I love being at the gym and connecting with everybody because we've built relationships now and it's not uncomfortable to me. But I used to be heavy gamer, playing MapleStory, World of Warcraft, just behind my computer all the time. I love that. And then now at the gym, there's like tons of people that love anime. I'm like, no way. I don't get to follow it anymore. But like when I was younger, all for it. So that's something that has kind of fallen away just because of business and now being a dad. But I love good. I kind of miss WoW. I do. I do. I would go back to it, but it's a time suck and I can't dedicate to that right now.
You just need to get a computer 30 minutes a day, and then it turns into like 10 hours of playing, and your day has just gone by, and you're just like, wow, that Is it really been that long since I've been playing?
Yep, and there's no level of mediocrity for me, so I have to get the best of everything in the game. So I'm going to be grinding away in those dungeons.
It's so addicting. I mean, I look at the games that I played, and now it's like I get older, and I'm thinking, I can't do those long hours anymore because I get bored after like 2 hours of playing it, and I'm like, I should be doing something. Like, I need to go outside or do something better than just sitting here playing now.
That's that growth mindset, because you do realize that it's not providing any true value to you. And that's, I think, what pushed me away from it is because I was playing, but when my friends weren't on, I couldn't just like grind away on my own. I'm like, I could be working on other things. And I played for a bit while I was opening the gym because things were slow. We didn't have a lot of people. There wasn't too much management to do. So I played, not at the gym, but I did play during that time. And I just came to learn, like, I could level up in the game, or I could level up in life. Like, let's go this way. I'm gonna take life as the challenge now. And that's what pulled me away from it. And I even tried playing Call of Duty with my brother because we didn't grow up together because my parents being separated. So I'm like, oh, let me get an Xbox, connect with him, we'll play live together. I couldn't do it.
Now you just need one of those VR headsets where you can do fitness and play games at the same time.
Oh, dude, that would be so awesome. We had a member at the gym who brought in those Oculus ones, and we did it inside the boxing ring. So people are in the ring with the virtual reality, like swinging away. It was awesome. And then he had the one where you walk on the plank and people are in the boxing ring and
Oh,
like
yep.
falling onto the boxing mat, just freaking out. Those things are wild. It's going to be insane what happens in the next, I think, 5 to 10 years with VR and gaming.
Yep.
When I was in high school playing WoW and college, I was like, they need to make this virtual reality. Like, I would love to just like be in PvP arenas doing this with my body rather than pressing buttons on the computer and get a great workout and like be in WoW.
It's just crazy the technology nowadays where you look back at, and you're thinking, oh, this is never going to happen. And now someone came up with it, and you're like, okay, what's next? What's coming out next month, next year?
Yeah, the evolution of technology is alarmingly fast and exciting, but scary at the same time.
The final question I'll ask you for someone that's listening to this interview based on your journey and experience, what tips or advice would you give them to overcome obstacles, accomplish their goals, and rise to the challenge?
This is definitely going to be with my core value of when you have that first thought of wanting to accomplish something. Don't think about the perfect time. It's just take that first step, whether it's writing it down, walking into the gym, reaching out to somebody, just make one step towards that goal rather than thinking of when to start. Just put it into action.
Taylor, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your rise to the challenge. You're inspiring so many people, and we are excited to see what the future looks like for you.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
Tune in next time, hear my next guest talk about their rise to the challenge. Remember to follow, subscribe on all major audio platforms, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel through the full-length episode and video format. What path do you take to accomplish your goals? You decide.